I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
And I'm Jennifer Watley Maxell, the Program Curator for the Ministry Collaborative. Obviously, we are living in a time of seismic shifts.
And these podcasts are often recorded ahead of time. This recording was done before the global health crisis caused by COVID-19.
And also before the most recent painful and poignant examples of racial injustice in our society.
The Ministry Collaborative seeks to promote and nurture deep and searching conversations about God's activity in the world
and our place in it.
And so, with all that,
we commend this podcast to you. Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a series of honest conversations about opportunities,
challenges,
and joy in ministry today.
I'm Adam Mixon, Content Curator.
I'm Adam Borneman, Program Director.
I'm Jennifer Maxell, Program Curator.
And I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
A project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation, the Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful, creative, and courageous engagement in their communities.
Every day, we are inspired by ministry leaders from across the country who are exploring possibilities,
learning from broad perspectives,
taking risks,
and who are eager to join candid discussions that generate disruptive creativity.
Hi, this is Adam Borneman, and I have the privilege of sitting here today with my good friend and colleague, Leon Stevenson. Leon is the pastor of Mac Avenue Community Church and also the interim director of Mac Development, an organization that he's been involved with for quite some years now. Leon is also the facilitator of our Detroit Pastors Cohort, and we're going to talk about all of this and much more today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, brother. It's good to be with you, Adam. I'm honored to talk with you. Blessed to be a pastor in Detroit, Michigan. God's allowed me to be here for about 11 or 12 years now.
Wow.
And was able to join up with some friends and plant the church some time ago. And God's just been faithful to draw people to himself and allow us to continue to serve and advance his ministry in the community.
But you're not from Detroit. So tell us where you're from and then why you ended up in Detroit.
Yeah. Originally from East Cleveland, Ohio, and Cleveland Heights, which are two suburbs of Cleveland. East Cleveland, many say, was worse than aspects of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then Cleveland Heights, a suburb that had a lot of resources. And so I've been able to kind of grow up in two very different cultures. And the Lord grabbed my heart while I was in college. And long story short, while in seminary, my wife and I began, was recruited by a good friend to plant a church. And we began praying about if it was the right opportunity. And our whole team, once we agreed to unite for God's mission to plant a church, we began to pray about cities, and we came out to Detroit for a vision trip, and God just opened up a ton of doors, Adam. He allowed us to meet some great people already doing ministry in the city that were advocates for us and encouraged us to come. And then he also allowed us to meet people living in the neighborhood that we were hoping to start the church in, and those people were some great blessings to us and just gave some words of confirmation that Detroit would be the right place for us. So, yeah, we were excited to allow the church to be a place where discipleship would take place in the midst of community.
Say more about that community that you're in. I had the opportunity a couple times this past year to come up there, and it's interesting to hear about Detroit following the economic crash back in 2008, and you hear stories about how hard Detroit was hit, but to hear about that in the abstract and to see it firsthand is very different. Say more about that community and where it's been the last decade or two, and you know, when you sensed that call to go there, what was the context like? What were you looking at?
Yeah. Well, we kind of laughed because when I was welcomed into Detroit by amazing people, what the rest of the nation was experiencing in 08 with the crash, Detroit had already been experiencing for years. People began actually to look to Detroit to say, man, if rebound is happening and we want to see our nation actually come out of this, maybe we should look to places that have already been forging ahead in rebuilding. And so, but it was rough in 08. I mean, you would see nationally these national stats that would say everything from, you know, Detroit, one of the cities with the highest crime rate, the highest violence. Also, homes that you could buy for $500 or $1,000, come get a home for a penny. You know, these crazy headlines. And unfortunately, we were known for many of the wrong reasons, reasons that would send a lot of church planters kind of running the other way. But we really felt God was doing something amazing when Jesus modeled incarnational ministry to come and dwell among man. We thought, well, man, if there are people that are doing great work in the city, we want to be a part of that. And that was taking place in Detroit. And if there are people that are hurting, we think the church should have an answer and be present. And so we planted our church in the midst of a pretty amazing community that has some severe challenges.
What's the specific neighborhood that you all are in?
Our neighborhood is based on our zip code. So our zip code is the 48214. Represent that to the fullest. But within that are about five different communities. We have a really affluent community. The actual mayor of our city has a house that's located in our community. And then there's Indian Village and West Village, just some more historical communities that seem to have middle class to upper middle class working families predominantly in them. Mm-hmm. But they really only make up about maybe 8% of our neighborhood for our entire zip code. Most of our zip code has blight, some severe blight as you get closer to the Harding and Mack areas where our church building is actually located. But we also have some solid infrastructure within our community in other areas like Pingree Park and now Island View. So our neighborhood has everything from, you know, grandmamas that get out and cut their grass with a pair of scissors to make sure that it's razor sharp. And then we have, you know, families that are trying to take care of abandoned houses on both sides of them so that their home doesn't, you know, fall to decay as well. And so we got a little bit of everything. And then we have homes as nice as, you know, the mayor of the city would want to live in. So,
wow,
it's pretty crazy. But that affluence, while it is present and sometimes is the most vocal, it is not the dominant experience within my community at all.
Tell us about your congregation in that community.
Yeah, man. We have an amazing congregation. You know, I'm a black man raised until high school in a black community, served and worked predominantly with a lot of black partners over my spiritual and church experience. I had some amazing experiences when I went to seminary with a predominantly white church up in East Gloucester, Community Church of East Gloucester.
Yeah, I know that. Community Church East Gloucester.
Yeah. Shout out to Tim Bushfield and
Jason Wood.
Yeah, Jay Wood. Come on. Yeah, man.
I needed a way to get him to listen to this podcast, so now we got it.
Yeah. My man Dave and Ashley Newman out in Cincy. So, yeah, some amazing people. And if you would have told me that once we planted a church in the heart of Detroit, that we would have a solid amount of white people as congregants, like though that was a beautiful vision of our team, you know, we had an amazing team, you know, Eric Nielsen, our lead guy was Eric Russ, Tony Steck, this was the guys who prayed together before we actually launched. In our vision, we wanted to see a diverse church because we believe in the beauty of God's beautiful tapestry of many cultures and ethnicities doing life celebrating Christ. But I was black and I was going to a predominantly black community, so I thought we'd be a black church. just to give it to you real. And God has been faithful to see folks that have lived in Detroit, served in Detroit their whole lives, come and join our church. But God also was faithful to draw people to himself that I would not have guessed. And a sizable portion of our church are whites that love Jesus. And, you know, when we gave an early challenge of, hey, we know that you can love God from anywhere and go to church anywhere. But what we're trying to do is live out the gospel incarnationally and do that in community together. And so we challenge people early on, if you really want to be discipled and grow in Christ within this church body, move into the neighborhood. Move into our zip code, live amongst us so that the beauty of community can be experienced on a day-to-day basis, not just a Sunday worship service. Mm. And so we had some amazing folks with a diverse body.
I love how your own vision, the Spirit seems to have taken it and turned it into a different direction.
God's been pretty consistent in that. So,
yeah, not by our strength or might, but by the Spirit alone.
Come on, man.
Tell us also about MAC development, which is in some ways connected to the church, and you've been very involved with both. So one of the things that really struck me up there is what MAC development's been doing. I'm very impressed with it. I'm just thrilled to see what God is doing with it. So tell folks about what that is and how it's going.
I'll first give a shout out to some men who have led the way in this. John Perkins, Robert Lupton, men that started an organization called Christians and Community Development Association, CCDA. They kind of laid out the framework for what it looks like to have a nonprofit rooted in Jesus, but still providing excellent services to the community. So we knew from the beginning when we created our vision for MAC Church that MAC Development, a nonprofit, would be a ministry of the church. And so when we were going around doing evangelism as a church and going door to door and just talking with the community, we did community surveys. And we asked the community a number of questions. And one of the questions was, what are the greatest needs? And people would say, you know, after school programming, I need some educational supplements, because at that time our schools were underperforming, greatly underperforming. I need an activity that's fun after school, a sport of some sort for my community. I need access to food because I primarily eat at grocery stores or corner stores. And they also need some type of housing / job awareness. And so God blessed us with a former teacher that said God placed on her heart the desire to do an after-school program. And we were able to partner with a church that gave us seed money to start an after-school program. And now, 10 years later, that after-school program kicked off our development corporation, which now provides legal services. We have a sports ministry that reaches hundreds. We have an after-school literacy program that continues to develop the comprehension and math abilities of students. We have a coffee shop and laundromat business that we started 2 years ago that meets the needs of our community. And we also have like an arm of our ministry, which is community engagement. So for instance, we have a situation in our city where if a person doesn't pay their taxes, their home is taken away from them. What we've partnered with some funders to be able to go door to door and do canvassing to make people aware that if their home is being threatened to be taken, that most likely due to their income, they are able to have that whole process avoided or prolonged, because if you're under a certain salary amount, the city should not take your house.
Wow.
Well, we've helped thousands of people or been used to care for thousands of people. But it's not just us. We have joined with nonprofits all over our city to reach thousands of people so that they were not... Yeah, they haven't lost their homes, man. It's unfortunate that some of the marginalized and hurting end up really legally being taken advantage of. And we've been a tool to fight against that.
You describing that, realized I had no idea how comprehensive the work of MAC Development has been. Mm-hmm. I come across folks all the time who are trying to get into that type of ministry and who are wondering about how to do it and looking for conversation partners. If folks wanted to connect with you or learn more about that, or folks wanted to donate to the work you're doing, how would they do that?
Yeah, they could simply go to macdevelopment.com, macdevelopment.com, and they will see all the different services we provide, as well as there's opportunities to give and to partner. And what I'm realizing is that finances are always welcomed, but sometimes it is the intellectual capital that people bring. Like, for instance, our legal clinic runs because we have volunteer lawyers who give a Saturday a month to be able to help those that need legal advice. And so their check would be valuable, definitely. But in this arena, their services are even more valuable. And we have real estate needs. We have business services needs. We have, you know, even as I'm sitting here talking with you, podcasting needs. Wink, wink, Martha. you know, so yeah, partnering with us is a blessing as well.
When I have visited with you all in Detroit and I've sat down with you and talked, I usually leave those conversations thinking, wow, they're actually doing ministry. How do I do that? So thank you for the good work you're doing. You're facilitating one of our cohorts in Detroit. And this is a really interesting cohort because it's mostly planters, mostly folks in that community. Tell us just a little bit about that cohort and what makes you all stick together and what your vision for that neighborhood is.
Yeah, I can say, let me say two things. First, when I was introduced to Macedonian Ministry, I heard about it because the organization was such a support to the gentleman that was telling me about his experience. He mentioned going through a really rough time in his life, and had it not been for Macedonian Ministry, he's not sure how he would have got through. And I kind of was like, oh man, yeah, sure, right. here we go, hero speech, you know? But man, as I've been able to now join with a group of pastors and do life on life and be encouraged, you know, so I do a lot in ministry, and I'm gone a decent amount. And one of the only times my wife would be like, hey, you going to Macedonian Ministry? Good. Like, is that coming up? Good. You know, like, she gets excited for me to go because, like, I come back encouraged and fed and having had a chance to do life. So the brothers and the pastors that are in my cohort, and we do happen to be all men, I know that the beautiful aspect of Macedonian Ministry is the diversity that each group has, but our group happens to be all men. These men are living in community. Most of them desire to be in the neighborhoods in which they're serving or are already in the neighborhoods that they serve in. And it was not due to me trying to have them be ministries similar to mine. I actually cast the net very wide and reached out to probably 60 different people as far away as an hour away in the suburbs or bordering on the rural. And it just so happened that all of us have our roots of doing ministry in the city and have faced some really big challenges, but been able to see God care for us, guide us, and provide great support through it. Yeah, this group is diverse. It's brothers that span from men whose churches were torn down because a bridge is being built to Canada, to men that have been in churches that are over 100 years old. And so we have a crazy mixture of small and big, but it's been great to see how God's used us to encourage and sharpen each other. Mm.
Leon, let's wrap up with this. As someone in your position, I'm always just intrigued to hear, what do you think ministry is like in 2020? What do you think God is doing in our culture and in the church? And in your time of prayer and your time of on-the-ground ministry, where do you think things are headed? What are you focusing on?
I'd say a few things. A gentleman was asking me about starting a nonprofit, and I said our nonprofit was able to get really started because we kept asking the neighborhood, how can we serve with you, and what is the greatest need? And so I think as long as nonprofits continue to do that and never chase money, never chase the new fad of what's cool, whether it's certain drugs that are affecting neighborhoods or whatever. Like, if you continue to meet people where they are, the nonprofit can succeed. I think as far as churches, man, we're trying to do two things. And the first is, like, stay committed to the beauty of our community. Our neighborhood, like I said, has some areas that are really hit hard through blight and abandonment. And we also have some areas that are flourishing. And what we want to do is make sure that the voice of the marginalized always is primary, even within a community that can have the voice of the resource to be very strong and prominent. And so you can't be a gospel influence if you don't listen to the voice of your neighbors. And so we're trying as best we can to constantly make sure that that balance of who has the most volume errs on the side of the demographics of our community, which is largely African American and largely marginalized, even though the voices in the community don't always reflect that. And we believe that God has something amazing to offer in community. I don't think that if all of our church drove in and left each Sunday and only saw one another when they met up during things that happened at the church building, we wouldn't have experienced the discipleship and maturity that God has allowed to flourish in our church body. I'm not saying that there's a right and wrong way to do ministry. I'm just saying from the church experience that I have seen flourish within our local body, living in community has been a great, great blessing to our congregation. I would encourage pursuing something to that end to make community go deeper than a Sunday experience.
Amen. Such a good word. Thanks, Leon.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast.
Our producer is Marthame Sanders.
To find out more about us and our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.